This is Grow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18 contain the central message of the whole letter. James wants his readers to develop a living faith, and this passage contains crucial instructions for developing the right kind of wisdom. Today, Pastor Sam Horn will begin a sermon titled, When Wisdom Goes Wrong. Let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
James chapter 3, beginning in verse 13 and going all the way down to verse 18. I believe, as I've kind of been working my way through the book, that these six verses are the central message that James is putting before us as people who have been called to display a living faith to a dying world. We have been making our way through James fairly quickly. We have been taking big chunks of James. We did chapter 1 in 3 sermons. We did the content of chapter 2 in 2 sermons. And then we had a sermon on Abraham and a sermon on Rahab. And then we took the entire first half of chapter 3 in 1 sermon. So we have been making our way through big chunks of James. And so you'll notice that I have intentionally slowed way down when we came to these 6 verses. And the reason for that is this. If James is calling us to develop and display a wholehearted, single-focused, fully trusting faith, then these verses are key to the success of that endeavor. And we do know that James is calling us to that, correct? As we've been studying James. In fact, can we say that? We always say that on Sundays, and so let's say that this morning. James is calling us to cultivate and display a faith that is wholehearted, single-focused, and fully trusting in God and in His Word. And so as James begins to unpack these verses, here is what we looked at. We saw at the very beginning of our time in chapter 3, verse 13, the way wisdom works. How does wisdom work? And we noted that James identified 5 ideas in relationship to how wisdom from above works. And so let me just reiterate that. Wisdom from above has as its source God. Its nature is spiritual, not carnal. Its location, where is this wisdom located? It's located in the scripture. And how does it function? And you remember we used an illustration to kind of understand how wisdom from above functions. It functions as the operating system of our heart. And then how does it operate actually? Well, it operates like a transmission. It's the transmission that takes our belief and turns it into behavior. And that's why wisdom matters. And so this morning, I want us to look at the second big idea that James has, not just how wisdom works, but what happens when wisdom goes wrong. What happens when wisdom works, but it's the wrong wisdom? For many, many years, Beth and I had the wonderful privilege of working at a Christian camp and helping with a leadership development program for juniors and seniors in high school. And we saw thousands of teenagers come through that program over the 22 or 23 years that we were involved in. And the heart of that program was really to help teenagers, these young people at this critical stage in life, develop strong personal character, spiritual fervency, and to identify their life mission before God. In fact, we had something we always said to them at the very beginning session as we started that 2-week program. And it went like this. God is on a mission to redeem and restore fallen people to the likeness of His Son for the praise of His glory. That's God's mission. That's what God has been doing in their life. That's what God's been doing in your life. And that's what God's doing in my life. And that's really the mission that God is on. God is on a mission to redeem and restore fallen people to the likeness of his Son for the praise of his glory. And so once we got that in our head, what are those redeemed and restored people supposed to do? And the answer is you're supposed to live your life in ways that cause other people to come to right conclusions about God. That's your life mission. As a person who has been redeemed and restored, God is in the process of restoring you to the likeness of his Son. What is the purpose for all of that? Well, the ultimate purpose is the glory of God, but the immediate purpose is for those people, for you and me, to live in ways that cause other people to come to right conclusions about who God is and what God is like. And that brings us to the heart of what James is talking about. If we're going to do that, we're going to have to get into the operating system of our heart and rewire how it works. Let me give you a statement that I think will help us make the case. And I'm going to do it in two parts, all right? And we're actually going to have a slide up there so you can follow along. Here it is. We do what we do. And we say what we say, and we feel what we feel because we think what we think. Can we say that together? I want us to really sort of feel this, and I want us to hear it, and I want this to sink in as image bearers that have been redeemed and are in the process of being restored to the likeness of God's Son. Let's say it together. We do what we do. And say what we say, and think what feel what we feel, because we think what we think. I messed that all up, so we have to say it again. That was a ploy. I just wanted you to say it twice. Here we go. We do what we do, and we say what we say, and we feel what we feel, because we think what we think. So here's my question. Why do we think what we think? And that's the next slide. We think what we think because we believe what we believe. Our thinking comes out of a belief system. We think what we think because we believe what we believe about God, about the world, and about our life. What we say, what we do, what we feel comes out of what we think, and what we think comes out of what we believe, and what we believe has everything to do with our life. It is connected to every corner of our life. Everything that you do, every response that you have is grounded in belief. It comes from something that you have concluded, something that you have embraced, something that you believe about God, about the world, and about our life. And the word that James uses for all of this is wisdom. The wisdom that you embrace shapes everything about your life. And James has been telling us that there are only two kinds of wisdom that are going to shape your beliefs. There is wisdom that comes down from above. And all through chapter 1, he's been introducing us to this wisdom. He tells us that this wisdom is available to anybody who asks, as long as they do not have a double-minded heart. That's chapter 1. He tells us that this wisdom from above is a good gift from the Father of lives. It is the word of truth that brought life forth in you as an image bearer, as the first fruit of God's new creation. It is the perfect law of liberty that perfects you and frees you. And in chapter 2, we discover that it is the royal law, the law of the king of the kingdom that we have been made part of, and it's located in the scriptures. and wisdom from above, when that's the operating system of your life, produces certain responses, activities, behaviors, character, speech, because it touches every part of you. But what happens when a believer chooses the wrong kind of wisdom? And that's what I want to talk about this morning. What happens when wisdom goes wrong? What happens to a believer when there is a gap between what he says he believes and what he actually does? You heard Garrett a moment ago describe to our children that there are things that we can say with our mouth that are completely undermined by what comes out of our life. And that's James's point. He's already made that point about our faith. In chapter 2, he talked to us and he said, look, it isn't enough for you to say that you have faith. It isn't enough to articulate an orthodox belief system. You can believe all the right things about God. You can actually articulate a very good creed. But if that creed isn't alive in you, then it is a dead faith. And a dead faith is powerless to do the one thing that you most needed to do on the day you stand before God. You need the faith that you have embraced to deliver you from God's wrath. And the only kind of faith that will deliver you from God's wrath, the only kind of faith strong enough and powerful enough to do that, is a living faith that goes way beyond just what you believe. And James says, how do you know that you have a living faith? You will never know that you have a living faith just because you say all the right words. The evidence that your faith is alive is in the work that it produces. What comes out of your life? How does that living faith cause you to actually believe God and be faithful to His word? And in chapter 3, James is now turning to wisdom, and he's saying the same thing. He is saying to Christians, it isn't enough for you to say that as a believer, I am wise and understanding. If you really are wise and understanding, there ought to be evidence of that wise and understanding life that comes out in your conduct. You can see that in chapter 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? And by the way, I hope that all of you would make that claim. I think that sometimes we look at that and we would say, well, I would never make that claim. And I think James is actually going the other way. He is saying, if you are a believer, then you should make the claim, I have a living faith. Every believer should make that claim. And just like every believer should make the claim, I have a living faith, every believer in humility and gratitude to God should say, I am so thankful that I possess a wisdom that has made me wise and understanding. That should be our claim. And James is saying, okay, just like you need to evaluate your claim to a living faith, you also need to evaluate your claim to possess wisdom that makes you wise and understanding. Because if that's true, then there ought to be some evidence in your life. That's how wisdom works. But in verse 14, James is going to begin telling us that there is wisdom, and when it works, it actually displays that wisdom has gone wrong in our lives. And so how do we assess all of this? Well, let me give you five things this morning that James is going to put out for us in this text. And we've already talked about one of them. The first is this. James is going to make the case that wisdom is validated by our works, by what it produces in our life. Wisdom is validated by our works. James says, by his good conduct, every believer should be able to claim because of his association with God and the good gift that God has given from heaven, the word of God, the word of truth, the royal law that perfects us, the perfect law of liberty, the scripture, because we possess that as a good gift from God, every believer with humble gratitude to God should be able to say, God, I'm so thankful that you've given me a wisdom that makes me wise and understanding. And James says, all right, now let's evaluate that claim. And the evaluation of that claim is going to be the examination of our conduct, what we actually do with our life. And so James is going to give us two areas where you can evaluate what's coming out of your life. Because he's making the case that there are only two kinds of wisdom in the world available to you. There is the wisdom that God has given, the body of information that God has placed in his word, and then there is the wisdom that the world has gathered together and by which it operates. If you go back to Psalm 1, you can kind of see this in how the psalmist talks in verse 1. Blessed is the man, remember this, who what? Can we say this together? Blessed is the man who does not walk according to the counsel of the ungodly. So there is counsel, advice, a way of thinking that people who don't know God have. Blessed is a man who doesn't walk according to that counsel. And that counsel, that way of thinking, shows up in behaving. And that's the next thing that the psalmist says. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor does he what? Stand. That's the idea of living his life positionally. Nor does he stand in the what? In the way of sinners. It's not just that he doesn't embrace the thinking, the sort of the mindset of people who don't know God. He doesn't live, he doesn't operate in the way, in the roadway, in the pathway, on the journey. He doesn't operate the way that people who step over God's law. That's the idea of sinners, transgressors, people not just who miss God's mark, but who actually step over God's boundaries. And then he doesn't sit in the seat of people who what? Scorn or mock God. And so right in Psalm 1, you can see there is a way of thinking. There is a way that guides a way of living that forms a set of values and priorities in life by people who don't know or acknowledge God, by people who step over his boundaries, and by people who actually mock his laws and mock his ways and even deny his existence. And that whole way of thinking, James sums up this way, that is wisdom from below. It is the wisdom that you find in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, that the God of the world is using to energize people to do what he wants them to do with their life. And then James says there's another kind of wisdom, and it is the wisdom that comes down from above, and it is good, and it is perfect, and it is freeing, and it is the royal law of God. And so all of a sudden, you see really clearly in James, there are these two kinds of wisdom. And every person on the planet operates from one of these two wisdoms. There isn't a third option. So let's dig a little bit deeper. Everybody on the planet who doesn't know God is bound up in this wisdom. It's the only wisdom they have. Sometimes this wisdom can look really moral. Sometimes unsaved people who don't know God can look very moral because that's what makes life work for them. But they're still operating from this wrong wisdom. But people who have been enlightened by God and enlivened by him so that they see the truth of the gospel and they look at Jesus, and in the face of Jesus, they see the glory of God and they repent of their sins, are taken out of this kingdom and they are put into this kingdom, and all of a sudden, this wisdom is implanted in their heart. That's what James 1 said. Receive with meekness the implanted word. So if you're a believer this morning, you have wisdom from above implanted in your heart. You instinctively now have been capacitated to understand, and you've been energized by the Spirit of God because you have been given a new heart. You see what he's saying? And that's why he can say to you and to me as believers, as members of the big kingdom of God, with a law from our king, as we live in all the little kingdoms of the world that still operate from the wisdom of the God of the world that they serve, that's why James can say, look at your life and see which wisdom you're operating by. See which wisdom you're operating by. And so it shows up in your conduct. In if you're operating from the wisdom from above, your conduct will consistently be good and beneficial because it comes out of the good wisdom of God. If you are operating from the wisdom from below, your conduct will display unruly and disobedient behavior. That's how James is going to picture this. And then he says it doesn't just show up in your conduct, it shows up in your disposition. If your operating system is wisdom from above, here's what your disposition will manifest itself to be: a consistent, gracious humility that eagerly responds to the word of God that has been implanted in you. You see that in verse 13? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. In the meekness that comes when you begin to realize the wisdom of God and what it accomplished and what it has done for you. There's the eager submissiveness that says to God, whatever you have put in your wisdom is what I want to do. Or your disposition can manifest a very different attitude. It can manifest selfish ambition and bitter jealousy. And it can be marked by arrogance and pride. So here's my question for you this morning. Why would a person who has truly embraced the gospel, I mean, this is a person that James is writing to. He has embraced the gospel, enlivened by God, enlightened by the Spirit, energized by God's Spirit. Why would such a person choose the world's wisdom as the temporary operating system of their life? Why does that happen? And you can read the Bible, and the Bible actually gives many reasons for this, but James actually focuses in on one. And the reason that James is going to call out to our attention for why somebody in this big kingdom who has been enlivened and enlightened and energized by the Spirit of God that dwells in him and has received the good and perfect gift of wisdom that comes down from above would set it aside, would turn off that operating system temporarily and come back over into the operating system of this world and plug that operating system in so that they now begin to operate according to this wisdom.
Thank you, Pastor Sam. We'll continue this sermon next time on Grow in Grace. Today's speaker, Dr. Sam Horn, is the pastor for preaching and vision at Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 2730 Anderson Road, Greenville, South Carolina. Join us for Sunday morning worship at 9 a.m. or 10:45 a.m. You can find us online at pbcpowdersville.org. If you have any questions about PBC, please email radio@pbcpowdersville.org. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time so together we can grow in grace.